Sind der da? Die Leute.
Okay, welcome to the Village of Carmacks, Village Council Meeting 25-09. It's a regular meeting, Tuesday, May 6, 2025. Respectfully acknowledge that we live and are meeting on the traditional territory of the Little Sam and Carmacks First Nation. We call the meeting to order at 7 o'clock. I'd like to have a moment of silence for a Village of Carmacks citizen, Ted Byers. So if you don't mind just having a minute of silence for the family. Thank you. Thank you for that. Motion to adopt the agenda with amendments. We have 4.3, Jeff from Wildland Fire Management. We also have RCMP 4.2, and we have an in-camera session for land. Am I missing anything else? Not, I'll ask for a mover.
We make a motion that we adopt the agenda as amended.
Seconder?
I'll second.
All in favor? Keep. Nice. Motion to adopt the regular meeting of April 15th, 2025. I have a motion.
I'll move.
Second?
Second.
All in favor? Thank you. Sweet. Delegations. Marsha,
Yes.
you have the floor.
Oh. Hello. You all
Welcome.
know. Say,
Welcome back.
but as you all know, I just got back. I've been coming here for quite a few years, on and off. Anyways, I noticed again, it's been something that I noticed, but I don't know if anybody else does. And I took the time to look at your strategic plan for CarMax. And it kind of goes in with what I have here, and it's the signage. This what it is like when people live in a community or you're in your house and you see that hole in the wall, but you just keep walking past it because you know it's there, you don't see it. Well, I think that sometimes happens in a community. And I was thinking that the signage in the community needs some attention. From the council or whoever deals with that. But I mean, that's totally up to everybody else. I gave you papers. And the first one is on the sunrise on both north and south coming into CarMax. There's a sunrise station signs. It's not open, but it's misleading to tell people it doesn't have an open, doesn't have a closed. Doesn't have anything. Plus, in town, they're advertising $2.03 for diesel, and everything's closed down, which is really misleading. And that now that we're coming into summer visitor time, you know
Yeah, tour season.
season. I don't know. I'm not reading right off of this. And then there's the coal mine campground. It's the sign. I know they're up for sale, but the sign looks terrible. And I don't know if there's any policies that they say they have to keep up on their signage or keep it looking half decent. I don't know.
Some of those, I can speak to some of that. Some of the signs that you see on the highway are under highways and public works as to like the requirements that they need to meet. So if we could,
Is that in the, like, is there somewhere I can find
that's
that policy?
YPC. Yeah, they would have a policy on that, on highway signs and what they're allowed to put and where they're putting and how you get to put one on the
So I
highway.
would have to go to them.
Yeah, or you could pull it off the internet.
No, but I mean to go to them to complain.
What's the complaint for?
Because it's Okay, let's go to.
If you're driving into a town and you think, oh, I can get gas there.
Okay, let's go to
Well, he's got to just close down. I think they're trying to open, but anyway, I thought.
But that's not the point, though.
Yeah. We know because we live here, right?
Yeah, I understand.
That's not the point.
Yeah.
The point is, we're coming up to visitor season. CarMax wants to, as it says in your strategic plan, create a better first impression of CarMax to highway travelers and visitors. And it says signage consolidation programs. And I said, I don't know what they are, and I couldn't find anything on them, and what has been done on that, whatever it is, I don't know. I couldn't find anything.
It says, sorry, it says in the strategic plan a signage consolidation program.
Yeah,
oh, that's okay.
Yeah. And then it says, this is a policy, number 8, actively promote and facilitate visitation to CarMax and consider initiatives to extend length of stay and visitor satisfaction.
That's a big act, yes.
Yeah, well, these are, and then develop a community economical development plan with strong tourism component. I've always thought that we could get more tourism and more revenue in if we looked at it. I know that the council and the village are looking at the big pictures, like the rec center and the pool and all that. But sometimes the little things need to be done to bring, you know, that you don't see it. You're seeing the big picture, not the small one. And then it's like a development. Okay, so then, okay, this is just all stuff. So what I think one it was, this that I like is the one for the visitor center.
The question mark one?
Yeah, it looks like we're stupid. I have no idea what a question mark means. And a lot of people come in from other countries, come to visit, they come, they tour the Yukon. I wouldn't know what that is. Do you know, like, you know what it is because you live here.
Yeah,
but it's not specific to what you're pointing in the direction of.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Yeah.
And under the cross, mm-hmm. and it's got a question mark, it looks like, you don't know what this means. You know what I'm saying?
Maybe go this way.
But the thing is, the arrow's not really that big for when you're driving the speed limits. And it doesn't say anything. Okay, I know the cross is for medical, but I don't know if anybody else would know that the medical assistance could be down there.
Mm-hmm.
Then when you get down to the end of the road, you got another question mark on River Drive.
It's a surprise tour.
If you have questions, you should go that way.
Another question mark with an arrow. So they go and they pull into the rec center.
I forgot the one that says Gloria Two Lake, 11.3 kilometers, and then it just leads you to the river. It doesn't tell you which way it goes.
And then you go on to the rec property and there's another sign with a question mark. But nothing to indicate going down to the visitor center. Like that's very, most people would have to go in somewhere and ask, do they have this? And I just think those things need to be addressed. I think they need to be addressed as we want to bring in some money and get that kind of thing going in and use the time that we have the summer season to our best ability. That's what I think. And who's responsible for cutting the grass around the signs?
That would be Yukon government.
Okay.
They have a
vegetation clearing.
Yeah, like a highway right away. Vegetation contract.
Okay, because I just noticed what I've been here. It grows up and you can't see the signs at all. Oh, that's it. That was it.
I want to thank you for letting us see the smaller picture, Marcia.
Yeah, I
laughed because out of all the signs, this is the one that bothered me the most. The question with the question mark underneath the nurses, like supposed to be the nursing station. Because number one, two signs aren't supposed to be on one post. So, I mean, that one is definitely confusing. It's almost saying, maybe there's a nursing station there. That one I agree with.
But I'm just saying that's what I've noticed. And it hasn't changed at all the years that I've been coming.
They used to say visitor, but because of people speak multicultural languages, they went to these
signs, symbols.
Multilingual symbols.
That's why that happened, just like, you know, I wasn't on
campus. I have no idea what a question mark is.
It's in other jurisdictions, they use a question mark, and in Saskatchewan, they do.
Like I've seen in BC.
I'd like to follow up with Chen. Well, you've met Chantel.
Yeah.
Chantel's more than willing to, you know, work with you. Okay.
I'm just trying to, you know.
Yeah.
And just to make you aware as well, I do have funding for visitor information signs.
Well, I think that this sign out here should have been down.
We have funding, and we're going to be working on it. Thank you.
I know, but I was just, my point was the seasons come.
Well, I honestly thought this sign should have been at the highway right there.
Well, exactly.
At the school.
But
for public coming through.
Well, that's
the best sign is the loon. It doesn't lose any color. It's been there for like 25 years. It looks exactly the same.
But anyways,
thanks, Marcia.
Thank you, Marcia.
That was my
presentation. Thanks, Marcia.
Thank you, Marcia.
Okay.
Dave, step four. Thank you. All right, then we're going over April Prison Report here. Interesting month, lower call volume, but some more intense calls, we'll call it. Just going through the numbers, nothing too off the page there from the normal. Just the standard type of call volume. Year over year, we're down calls, but alcohol as a factor is pretty much this on par for last year. So no changes there, unfortunately. That said, as far as what we're doing with regards to substance abuse, we have been going to the Gold Dust Lounge quite a bit more recently. And one thing is that we're getting familiarized with their new CCTV there, which is great. It has actually helped us out in a criminal file already. It is phenomenal. And it works in conjunction with our body camera. So they actually have the ability to send us footage directly to our body camera unit, and it's very easy for disclosure purposes and investigation. So that has been good for us. Throughout the month, we were on the road quite a bit, about 155 hours, 33 hours on the road. Several tickets were unregistered, uninsured, and speeding were issued, and four warning tickets. And then Greg pulled the numbers from previous to this. And so far this year, I believe we have 46, their number for just tickets in general. So at the beginning of the month, there was an issue at the Tantalus School, and that was the threats. So it was a big thing for the community. It was fourth-hand information that was it was reported. It eventually made it, excuse me, CarMax, all seven. Thank you. Yeah, it was fourth-hand information that eventually made it to the police. By the time we had gotten a hold of the information, there was already quite a bit of panic at the school. And we worked to sort of just lower the temperature a little bit. I can't get into all of the specifics of it, but it's not to say that it was blown out of proportion. We definitely acted in the way that needed to be because kids were involved, threats with kids, we'll just take it as seriously as possible. But all that to say is there probably wasn't a huge risk to the children, just with our assessment. But that said, we did a lockdown drill with the school on two different days, and they passed with flying colors. They did a really good job. All the students did an excellent job. They we brought in overtime, had extra members doing the drill. We had Greg pretending to be an intruder, knocking on doors, pounding on windows, telling kids to open up. Everyone did a really good job at the lockdown drill, which was nice. And instead of doing reactive lockdown drills, we spoke with Ruth, and at the beginning of the next school year, we're going to be doing more proactive lockdown drills. So we're going to have a couple more planned throughout the year, just so everyone is prepared, versus sort of what we did this year, which was did one out of panic, just as a response. So I didn't like that much. So next year, Ruth and I, and we've already sort of been talking about it, we're going to have a lot more planned. Either way, just with regards to that file, there aren't any criminal charges laid because ultimately no one came forward. It was fourth-hand information, and that was all we had. No one direct source came to us, so we can't proceed with any charges. Another file we had of interest to the community that sort of generated some
concern was someone posted a picture of themselves holding what looked to be an AR-15. It turned out to be it was one of those hyper-realistic firearms that it was just a BB gun. It very much looked real. Photo, it's concerning. And the person involved also had children, so the person who called was concerned about that person's children. We immediately went to the house, were able to determine that it wasn't real AR-15. And the photo was actually dated. It was just posted recently. So all that to say is, again, no charges out of it. But it was concerning nonetheless to everyone. But we did make sure that it wasn't a real AR-15 floating around CarMax. The other more serious file we had was an ATV collision. So two people were ejected from the ATV. Both sustained pretty serious injuries. Can't go into name details. They are local, but an information hasn't been sworn yet. I do anticipate laying charges against both individuals in this case, just with the evidence that we've gathered thus far, but we have a lot more investigation to do. So this one in particular is involving search warrants, production orders, all sorts of stuff. It's a very intense file just for a small, what could be considered a small impaired, but there's a lot of moving parts with that one. And then going on to a staffing update here. As you guys know, we've been supplemented by relief quite a bit. You'll see the odd person coming in and out. While that's been nice, it's nicer to have the actual members who are supposed to be in community as the regular members. So we actually had some positive updates on that front. It looks like we will be fully staffed for the summer, probably starting around June, I would say. And it'll be the regular complement, so Greg, Mark, and I. Other than that, court is going to the fire hall going forward. And that's pretty much it as far as updates for us. Does anyone have any questions, concerns, anything they want to chat about with regards to the files or some of the numbers they see? Okay.
I just want to say thank you. I know you guys do. Greg played in the floor hockey tournament and just the involvement with the barbecue at the school the other week. And yeah, it's been great to see you out and about. And
right on.
Yeah. So thanks.
No problem. We strive to it and we'll hopefully get out more. Yeah. Next little bit here as well.
Weather's getting better.
Yes. Thank goodness. All right. Hey, you guys enjoy the rest of your meal. Take
thank
care.
Thank you.
Good night.
Okay, Jeff. Wildland Fire Management.
Yes. Well, yeah, thank you. Thanks for having us. I have a brief presentation if you guys want to.
Absolutely.
I got a thumb drive for that.
Sure.
And where's
it going? Help you with that.
Okay, cool.
Don't touch the fire. So. We can't move.
Yeah, we're going to find out when you're church on time. Oh, it's on my file. Yeah, it was just there. It's okay. Oh, yeah, there we go. Jerry's. Sure, let's go Jerry's version. So, as you guys know, I work for Wildland Fire Management, and I just wanted to just come in, say hi, and reintroduce ourselves again for the upcoming fire season. Answer any questions that you may have, and really just give you an overall presentation about what Wildland Fire Management does and who we are. So we have, I've got a suite there, as you guys know. We have a variety of facilities and things spreading in CarMax here, and a bunch of seasonal staffs. We have one fellow there, Jerry Trudeau, as you may know and love.
Yeah.
He's been the regional manager here for eons, for lots of years. And he's the full-time person. And so the rest of us are seasonal. I come in and work for the summer. So got two officers, myself, and then we got a new fellow Ronan, and we have two crews. We should really ideally have four crews in this region, but yeah, staffing shortages, staffing issues, I mean, kind of unfortunately plaguing us for the last little bit. But the one thing we do in Wildland Fire is we do have a lot of mobility. So we have folks that we can call on from other regions. Whitehorse is well staffed with a lot of different crews. And so if we do get busy and we have need, then we simply call in other crews, put them on standby, call on other resources, such as helicopters, air tankers, and whatever other resources that we need. Sometimes, in the Yukon, we're a fairly small organization, and sometimes we get a little bit overwhelmed if we have a fire or two in an area that we want to fight and want to protect some structures. It can suck a lot of our resources into that. So we have agreements with other jurisdictions to help us out when there is the need. So we'll obviously, British Columbia is one of our go-tos as a resource. But it's really we've had people here from Fort Brunswick and Nova Scotia, and Elmer has another key partner as well. But so I'll run through some notes. We can go to the next slide down. You can go to slideshow or in there, just go to the next slide. So go to slide two, actually. So yeah, six fire centers, 24 crews, support staff. We got an air tanker group, two air tanker groups. We have a whole team of logistics and business people, support people behind us. And there's also prevention and mitigation, which is really the Fire Smart program, essentially. They do things like building fire guards around particularly in Whitehorse these days, as a preventative measure. But certainly the Fire Smart program is a big part of what we do as well. It's kind of a separate organization from us. We're more operations and fire response. But they're part of underneath the greater umbrella of Wildland Fire Management. It's also Fire Smart.
Do you send reports like based on those fire guards if they need like work done to them? Like a letter of support saying, hey, this one is growing in. You might want to take a look at that, or how does that work?
Yeah, there is an old fire guard around CarMax, and it has been a bit of a subject of discussion. If we do get a fire that's nearby, we have greater access to things like funding and things like going around regulatory processes.
Yeah.
So that has been the plan, is to get that fire guard widened and rebuilt when we have a fire nearby.
Okay. No. So you can't really necessarily do something preventative unless there's something threatening.
Sometimes I know that Jerry has suggested like areas for us.
Yeah.
They would have been doing brush clearing, but they used to do a fire guard because of 99.
You can't. Mm. You'd have to go through yes, and stuff if it was not an emergency.
So the one done in 99 is going to grow over. It was 100 feet wide. You could actually still see it in some places.
That's it. Yeah. And that's the one we're afraid. So there is a plan to widen that out. Jerry knows where it is. It's all been mapped out. I think we have any issue at all. It's a fairly quick process to actually widen it out and make it make it more wide guard, a fuel free guard again. It's just a matter of calling up contractors and having to do it. It'd be pretty quick process.
When you were CEO, did they do it?
We did a lot of fire smarting.
No, but did they do
not the fire guard?
Well, not the fire guard, yeah, because I think 99 was the last time we did a fire guard.
Well, one thing we have working in our advantage too, of course, the new road, the new bridge. That's another fire guard right there, very, very wide. So are those things in place?
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Let's go to the next slide. Yeah, so this is a bit of a not the greatest map. Actually, I got another slide we'll look at if you guys are really interested in this. But this essentially is it's showing us our management zones. Mm-hmm. So anything close to communities is going to be colored red as a critical fire response zone. And then it widens out from there into orange and yellow and then green. So anything out in the green areas is called a wilderness zone. We don't proactively attack these fires. We just make sure that there's cabins are not going to burn down. So our mandate is to protect life and protect property, of course. So even in the wilderness, we'll examine that and ensure that we're protecting those values. So we have a whole list of, we have a database of a bunch of cabins throughout the territory. We've encapsulated most of that in a very good database over the last number of years. We just keep adding to it whenever we need to. So if we have very good detection systems these days with satellite detection and can detect heat sources coming off the earth. We can detect where fires are before we actually put eyes on them. Especially when they're way out in the wilderness, you can actually see that there's a fire.
You've got the best eyes in the Yukon right there.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. He's Bobby.
Oh, you see Bobby. Yeah, that's right. So, obviously our policy is really protect those communities and going out from there. We have different jurisdictions, management zones, and all TAC fires appropriately considering how far they are away from communities or proximity to communities. So who manages the fires? That's us. 24 crews, 3 people per crew. So those are called IA crews. Yeah, 4 crews here is what we should have. Probably even 5. We have funding for 4. We typically staff 2. We're going to be close to 3 this year.
Does that include the First Nation or is that another?
Includes the First Nation crews as well. We have one government crew here. Mm-hmm. And then there's one for Little Sam Carmax, one for Kelly, one for Ross River.
One forestry, one First Nation. Always. I don't remember 4 crews or 3 crews ever being.
There's one in Ross River and one in Pelly.
No, I know, but I mean...
Well, that's part of the detaching region.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah, I go all the way out to almost Francis Lake kind of thing. So okay.
It's a good region.
She
used to work at the office.
yes, for sure. She still does. She's still honorary firefighter, for sure. So if we have a need, we'll station crews, for example, in Ross River, Faro, Pelly, even we had a camp in Pelly a few years ago with a BC team in there. So we're trained to national standards by certified instructors. Crews responses are organized through a standard response structure and the incident command system, as we all know and love in the incident command world. We deal with work throughout with a system that organizes us called ICS, Incident Command System. So there's Bobby Gage.
Bobby.
Our longtime local up on the tower, getting ready for his umpteenth season. And he'll be in the office in a couple of weeks. So, how we detect fires through fire lookouts, reports from the public, industry air traffic, heat sensors, there's satellite heat sensors these days, fancy stuff. Loaded patrols, which would mean if we have a helicopter and we have a crew on standby, then we might have hours to burn on that helicopter and no fires, but a high fire hazard, send them onto a loaded patrol to check out recent lightning strikes. That's part of what we do. Aerial detection, so that's referring more to fixed wings, to go to detection flight and check out different areas that have had lightning. I call it fire reports if necessary. We still work with analog, the good old analog radio repeater system, as well as we have all kinds of fancy sat phones, in reaches, and like these days for communications. Proprietary incident management software, so it's just referring to a program called Dispatch, so we can watch air tankers and helicopters in real time and crews in real time and location. And they're calling into us here at the duty desk but we also have the whole software that actually tracks where all the resources are, which is kind of fun. When you're at the duty desk, it's like playing a game of chess. So keeping community safe, so that's a big fire guard near Whitehorse. So a fire smart fuel break, community wildfire kitchen plans, implement communities, and yeah. How else we respond to fire? So here a couple extra little pieces in there. So triaging values at risk, though, it's essentially, you know, when we're looking at cabins and things and how to protect them, we're really, you know, homeowners and cabin owners are really the primary people that can protect our own structures. So you can see the picture at the lower left is really going to be hard to defend. Threatened, non-defensible would be a term used to describe that one. You know, if vegetation is growing right against the cabin, it makes it very difficult to defend it. A lot of times it's not even radiant heat that will actually like destroy a cabin either. It's like embers from burning trees. And the embers tend to get thrown into the atmosphere and they tend to land on things, cause little spot fires. And if you have a bunch of little dry leaves and kindling and firewood pile up against your house, or an exposed deck like that can really cause that structure to burn. So I threw a little Fire Smart Canada photo up in there. It's just talking about how to protect your house. I have brochures there as well. I can distribute or even the office here team for
absolutely go.
That go into more detail about Fire Smart and how to reduce the risk to your home. But essentially, the first meter and a half around your house should not be anything that burns at all. Is the best way to think about that one. And homes do survive quite a bit. You often see on the news, why did this home survive? Why this one did not? That's really the reason. Largely the reason. 100%, but certainly have a much better chance of defending a home that's been fire smart versus one that is growing lots of vegetation around it. So yeah, resource sharing agreements. Air tanker operations. So air tanker operations. So we have two groups that work in the Yukon. We have an air tanker base here, as you may know. That's Malata, is back for another season of filling the air tankers. So she fills them up when they land. Sometimes they are based in Carmax or Mayo or Watson Lake, Dawson, down into to Whitehorse, where they typically be stationed. So they can get to a fire very quickly, of course. Being in an Electra, that one's the Electra plane like that, so they can get there fast. Helicopters a little bit slower, but they're more used for, once a fire is detected and a crew goes in, they might ask the helicopter pilot to put on his bucket and just help contain a fire before it becomes bigger. They can be quite useful, helicopter bucket. That's just a stock photo that I grabbed. It's essentially what it is there.
That load will crush a vehicle.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't want to be going to have your car parked there. So yeah, just I mentioned resource sharing agreements. So there's a centralized place in Canada called CIFC, Canadian Interagency Forest Fire Agency, essentially, coordination center. And there's also something called the Northwest Compact. So these are resource sharing agreements that are already pre-in place. So when somebody's requesting a resource, it makes it very easy to just to say, we need this list of resources. Can you provide this? And there's already an agreement in place of how that's going to be managed, how that resource can be shared, and what the costs are involved. It's already pre-planned. So So myself, I've been out to a number of places. We often get places, people and resources that come here and help us out when we need that. So there is a centralized information about UConn and wildfire on that website. Find all kinds of goodies and information on there. Current status and update, how fires are being managed as well. So great, it's a great resource. So no lot put into it last 5 years. And any questions? You want to see some more pretty pictures?
We always have one question for Jerry. It's the prediction for Carmack.
Yeah. Has he thrown his bones yet?
That's not how he does it.
Yeah, toss his bones.
It's tea. Is it tea leaves this year, or is it crystal balls?
Okay.
You know, it really depends on weather. It's really weather dependent. If it rains, we're going to have a very active fire season. Like it rained a few years ago, I guess 2020 maybe. Perhaps. Yeah,
and all the wild and fire guys got to deal with flooding.
Yes, so we get to deal with flooding. That's right. So it really depends on that. It's been very active in Mayo, as everybody likely knows, over the last three seasons in particular. Dawson can be very busy. We haven't had,
Stewart, right?
Yeah, Stewart. Yeah, that was just on the other side of the border there.
Yeah.
The outside. And when we set up, we had a whole bunch of BC folks set up camp there in Palevia Airstrip 1 year. That was also on the other side of the border mostly. Most of the fires were on the Mayo side. So, it's new and different every year. You never know exactly what you're going to get. We've had a fair amount of fires here in the wilderness over the last few years.
The other one is there any active ones in our region right now?
Not in our region, no.
Okay.
No. There was a couple in Haynes Junction, very, very small, for some causes.
Yeah.
And as far as wildfire goes, they do, like the weather guide, meteorologist does try to make a prediction, but yeah, it's really anybody's guess. I was just looking at, Manitoba's got quite a few wildfires in North Dakota right now. And Saskatchewan, there's a few in Alberta, a couple of Fort Nelson. But as far as here goes, it hasn't rained for a while. So we're going to get a fire hazard very quickly unless we get some rain. But
it's coming in tomorrow with the fire department to work with us to get us on page.
Yeah. Yeah, it'll be much the same, maybe more pretty pictures to look at.
I just had my Uber driver in LA tell me about the LA fires. Because you see on the news, we're way up here. He said it was so windy that day, he opened his car door and it slammed back at him. And he said it was horrible. He was supposed to drive someone out to Malibu and he got turned around. You could see embers flying from palm trees. And I was
there's a prime example of the embers. That's what happened in California.
Yeah.
Even the hoses.
And those palm trees, they're just dry and
oily.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, oh, okay. Because we only see bits and pieces on the news. He's like, it was freaky.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's the radiant heat is one factor, but it's more like, it's more than the embers.
Yeah, and it was so windy.
In the industry, they're known as firebrands. But it's, embers coming from wildfires that can catch little pockets of fuel that are around the house that catch the structure on fire.
You've been here before? Have you been here before?
In the chambers?
No,
Carmona.
Oh, yeah.
This is like you're familiar. Yeah. Seven or something.
Yeah. Okay,
that's why.
A couple of years.
But I saw you at the barbecue there last week. So.
Oh, yeah. But I went to barbecue when I went to one of the conferences. And I know that guy from somewhere. I can't find where.
It's like a fire again.
Yeah.
That's it. But you guys want to see any other pictures? Or?
I think we're good.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jeff. And, thanks for your team, and I know I seen your training going on. Potential firefighters there doing all their time sequence. What does that training actually call? ICS or something?
That's called WFX.
WFX.
So it's a bona fide fitness test to certify you as a Type 1 firefighter or certify you to receive the training to be a Type 1.
Okay.
So you have to pass a physical test. And that's what's going on there. So all of our staff have to pass it every year. All the firefighting staff has to pass it for our initial attack wildfire group. Yeah, to be considered Type 1.
Sometimes.
Yeah, it's a pretty rigorous test. But all across Canada, that's the standard test.
Did anybody beat a record in CarMax?
No, not this time.
Okay. I've seen a red hat with big cold packs on there, ripping around a few of them.
Yeah, it's a bit hard in the angles. You got to go up and down this ramp over and over again.
Especially since you have run through town. There are a few of them have them on their backs running around.
The weight vests?
Yeah, they're doing some vests? Training. Yeah.
Good to see some returning faces in the department that you're with, the wildland, coming back to CarMax.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we've got a few returning faces.
Yeah.
A lot of the crew members were, we've had a big turnover of crew members this year, but the crew leaders are there, which is good, and the officers are all there.
Yeah, Harrison, Clint. What's his name, Brian Morrell?
Yeah.
They're all retiring. Harry passed away, it was a shame because we can't buy that knowledge.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, no, we looked after that.
Is Joey a crew leader?
He is, yeah.
Oh, good.
Yeah, he's been a crew leader for probably a couple of years now.
I know.
Yeah, he's doing very well. Yeah.
Perfect. Thank you, Jeff.
Yeah. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, you.
He drives that Honda Ridgeline, the round one. He's driving you on.
Oh, that's a cool.
Okay, we're going to move on to correspondence. 5.1, this is a letter request for financial support, the third annual Ironman Hand Games Tournament. This is from Richardson Undershoot.
Yeah.
We've had a minute to look at it. They're hoping to get some support in...
prizes and stuff.
I thought I read here it was either a prize or money, anything would
have a good night.
Anything to help out.
Night. Thank you. Yeah.
Gifts for thank you.
Gifts for drummers and judges.
Do we have a budget for these kind of things?
I
think we donated to the Far Far Away Club and then we donated to the curlers, but I don't think we actually have like a line item for donations.
Just went through the line items. I thought we had some.
We had $2,500 and we gave $1,000 to Far Far Away. And the curlers was.
That was in the previous budget, I believe.
We did. Okay. Then, yeah, it's only been. So we still have $1,500.
And 2/3 of the year to go through.
I'd recommend 500.
So with the lotteries funding,
Z-Con
funding, that portion goes to the rec board to distribute. How much do we get? Well,
how much does UConn lotteries spend?
How much
from the rec board? It's up to 20,000.
And a portion.
25? Yeah.
And a portion is distributed by the rec board, and a portion is just used by the rec department.
Well, not sure about that part. But there was all submissions.
Mm-hmm.
All submissions. But, like, we can point in the direction, like, to apply for that. You need receipts for UConn lottery submissions. There's no prepayment for any type of support.
Did we use 25,000 last year? Do you?
I think it was very close. Very close. From what I recall.
I'm happy to move that we support the Ironman.
Third annual Ironman.
Yeah. For $500?
I'm comfortable with 500.
All in favor?
For you, yeah.
I'll second.
Kind of got that. Thanks. Okay.
Send our logo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Set a couple things. prizes and
right on
stickers and stuff.
Okay. 5.2 Yukon government appointments, Deputy Minister of Tourism and Culture, Deputy Minister of Energy, Mines and Resources letter.
This one was an addition. I have
Sorry.
You don't need a copy?
No, they
I have
to use all the time.
Okay,
File items not acted upon by resolution. We don't need to do anything with this letter. It's just,
yeah, it's just interesting.
I'll second that. No.
All in favor? Thank you. Okay, moving on reports. Council activity report. Councillor Hansen.
I went to the AYC AGM, and I think that's all I've done since our last meeting. That was very well attended, and I enjoyed it. Thank you for the opportunity.
Councilor
Hector. The usual, I committed to something, but I got dragged out. I was supposed to play in the four hockey tournament for a time, but we got put on weekends with YTG, so... had to pull out of that, and other than that, I'm just like Doris. All I did was the AYC, and I enjoyed it. I thought it was really good.
Councilor Wheeler?
I thoroughly enjoyed my holiday. Nothing else. I'm going to try to our next meeting to join by Zoom, but I will be on a ship leaving Vancouver. So, my connection might be iffy, but I will try my hardest.
Thank you. Council Belmore.
Attended the AYC AGM. It was really good. And nice to see everybody again. All the new faces. And I look forward to the FCM conference again.
Yeah, I know that the Mental Mine is having another presentation on Wednesday.
Casino Mine or Mental
Mine? Yes, Casino, thank you.
Yeah, with the socioeconomic.
On the 14th, that direct, the 5:30 supper and presentation at 6, supposedly the socioeconomic studies of the.
On the 14th?
Yeah.
I don't know. That's not enough.
Thank you for that.
I heard it on the radio.
I have a report. AYC AGM, I attended. It was good to hear from ministers, premier, local delegates on different matters, mining, casino was there also. I've also been helping some of the not-for-profits around town with the garbage pickup. I attended the floor hockey tournament, which was good. It was there was an all women's team that got to play. Yeah, there's three teams, all local teams. RCMP were involved and picked up on some games and refs some games, and yeah, it was good to see the women had fun too. And yeah. They scored a couple goals on myself.
They used to be the roughest players.
I attended a couple barbecues. I had, there was one at the rec, and then the school had a barbecue day too that I attended. It was nice to see the kids getting outside and enjoying themselves. And there is the Ridge Run coming up at the end of the week.
Yes. So
there'll be lots of...
They're also looking for volunteers.
Yeah, if you want to volunteer at a checkpoint or for safety or... anything like that, just make sure.
Do.
It's Friday.
Friday. Yeah. But yeah, if you want to contact Ruth at the school or anybody.
I'm acting right now.
Yeah. I also look forward to going to FCM at the end of the month. That's all I have for my report. We have a finance report. Finance report, it's been sent to you, expenditure summary, income statement, projects, pool rehabilitation, first installment was paid, the contractor, this project is funded as CCBF, Audit 2024. This is in full swing. She says, I am sending documents to the auditor on a daily basis. If you have any other questions for her, Chantel gladly take those questions. Would you like to move?
Yeah, can I move to accept the payables report for May 6th? Checks number 31263 to 31305 and payroll EFT for informational purposes.
Do we have a seconder?
Yes.
Question. Yeah, question.
Question about one of the checks.
Yes.
I was just curious what we pay check number 31284. It says monthly service fees for the CarMax Hotel.
31284. Oh, that's not our first one. 3128. CarMax Hotel Limited monthly service fee 2021.
You can just let us know. Okay. You could just go.
Monthly service fee.
That is.
This one might be the recycling refund that was like big, so we couldn't cash out $600. There were a few seats.
Right. Isn't it also purchases from Touch and Center? Because I don't see one for Touch and Center.
No, monthly service fee is the recycling.
Yes.
Because now we have a $300 minimum for cash.
Yeah. Right.
And it might include the invoices too for the Touch and Center. Scene check, but we have two.
Okay. Invoices. I was just curious what monthly service fees we pay.
So that's for recycling?
It's just in missiles.
And a couple other
refunds.
Invoices, yeah. Thanks.
That's almost gosh.
I'll call the question. All in favor to submit. Okay. Moving to bylaw report. CC summary of activities, occurrences for 2025 April. Just goes dogs at large caught outside post office, one on highway, aggressive dogs complaints. Received no aggressive dog complaints this month. Traffic violations, parking, unsecured loads. Five, he says, outside of stores, unsecured loads, assisting commercial vehicle enforcement. So he was out with the government vehicle for commercial vehicles. It's the
DOT.
DOT, yeah.
Carrier compliance.
It's good. Like the pictures.
Me too.
Okay, moving on to Public Works.
Public Works is just before the bylaw.
So, Public Works Manager report. He's water plant treatment. Is this going through? And if you want to have any questions regarding that, you can ask Chantel to forward that to Jens. Recreation report.
Do you think it'd be possible to have upcoming events in the recreation report?
Yeah.
Do you think
that, so that we can tell a question?
So that we know what's going on in the future?
Yeah, I can ask Chanel that.
If it's too much, then no, but if she has time. Yeah. That would be super, because I think here I miss out on a lot.
They have, like, maybe getting the schedule, the summer schedule, or you're talking about more?
No, like a schedule, like weekly events, or daily events, whatever.
Yeah, they have, like, a calendar thing for, like, winter, summer, but we could.
But even if it was monthly of, like, this is what's happening in May.
Yeah, because the reports that are coming are for, like, the previous month, right? But I can definitely ask her to just add, like, at the bottom of the report, what's coming up.
Important dates, coming up. Like you
did. What says Canada Day planning?
She does have summer planning and community events.
Yeah, but there's no dates.
It says...
Well, Canada Day's
July. Hey, I know that. Thank you.
Smart. There is some stuff on the bottom, but...
Yeah.
Thank you, Chanel.
What's a Tuesday?
We have CAO report.
Yes. My report. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. CAO report for May 6, 2025. Save the dates. Graduation ceremony for 2025 Tantalus School, May 30th at 5:30 p.m. Tara, you're going to be...
I thought it was at 5.
The invitation says 5:30.
Oh, okay. I thought you said 4:30 per second. I'm like, this
way. Regular council meeting next is May 20th. The pool grand opening ceremony is scheduled for June 7th, which is a Saturday. Compost Day public engagement with Balanced Biogas is June 17th.
Can I just tell you that June 7th is the Little Seven Comments First Nation General Assembly, and a lot of people will not be accounts. So
for the pool, 7th, 8th, and 9th, right?
Yes.
Yeah, it's six, also, seven, eight. It's June 7th is also the day the Far Far Away Club kids go away. We could do it during the week.
You'd have more people turn out if they were actually in town. So
yeah.
I don't know what this, I don't know what other days.
So the only thing is that the four staff have to go to Dawson City from the May 26th to May 31st, and then they need training. They need a week of training. So if we can't do it that weekend, it would have to be like the Monday after.
Well, we can have a grand opening after
it's been open for a while. I was going to say,
we can't open it and then do a grand opening.
Yeah. I like that.
Have a soft opening on the weekend for the kids that are still in town.
If that's okay with everybody.
Don't want to shut that pool any longer.
No.
People want
soft opening.
Good grand doors.
Monday's ceremony. Done.
On the 14th or something. The Saturday,
right? Well, June 7th is the Saturday. Sunday, so the 9th. So I do it like on the 10th or something. You said they're gone 8, 9, 10, 7, 8, 9.
It's the Friday, 6, 7, 8.
So you're going to do it so during a weekday.
The 9th.
I believe. Monday. When is the last day of school?
The 7th.
6.
So. And then what time of day?
We can do it like an after work. Okay. So people can come after work, like at 5 p.m.
Right on. Thank you. I'd like to go.
Okay. Ceremony, 5 p.m. I'll see if I can find some ribbon. Mayor can cut. Do you have big scissors?
I think we'd just throw the safety raft in there, let a big floating duck or something go in the pool.
I'll think he's going to jump in with his suit on.
Something more. Okay.
Speedo.
CarMax.
Okay. I'll see what we can come up with. Get some ideas rolling.
Yeah.
Out. Have a unicorn floaty somewhere for you.
Oh, that's
perfect. I could blow the whistle, the first whistle of the hell running.
I like something. That. Yeah, that's great. Okay. Updates. I also attended the AYC conference. I was impressed by the venue, the organizers, and the event itself. Food was fantastic, way too much. Made great connections with my peers and meeting other people there. I really enjoyed it. Came back with some good informational pieces as well. CarMax bypass sign was never actually supposed to be called CarMax
Casino Way.
It is Casino Way, and they made an error, and so it is being changed.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
Pool renovations are in full gear. We are changing a new propane tank on Thursday. Pool liner guys coming on Friday. Plumbing, once we have the pool liner filled, fixed, we can organize the pool filling with LSCFN, but until our chemicals come, which I've ordered today, so hopefully next week we put some water in there, we'll see. We need that water in there for the boiler system and the plumbing guys to come and service the boilers. Visitor Information Center will be open to the public on May 16th. Asset auction first bid has closed yesterday, and second bid to the general public is now open as of today. We sold 6 items, including the 2 fire trucks, a generator, a flat deck trailer, and one other thing.
Well,
an arm for a
couple. Both fire trucks sold?
Yeah. Dale won them both.
Oh, he took both of them.
Yeah, he
okay,
did.
well, in our discussion, he was only doing one. I didn't tell you guys the other one. I'm just going to say Eric was interested in one, but I guess he decided not to.
We can talk about that.
Yeah.
Well, I just saw Dale coming back from looking at the house. He's thinking of buying in Vernon. So it's going to be a long drive with his fire trucks, I guess, for him and stuff.
Traffic committee has been formed and will be meeting every third Monday or Tuesday prior to the regular council meeting to discuss matters, and then I'll be able to update or the mayor will update because he's also sitting on the committee. The carbon rebate program has now ended following the federal program termination. That's just a little bit of government news. Review of the OCP and how the half funding initiative ties into the OCP. So I met with LOCFN Kelly yesterday on a potential collaboration. I could talk more about that in camera about the lands, which we need to do. We also talked about a potential tiny home, different areas that we can possibly build some tiny homes. And I have a meeting with Jane and Mark, our lawyers, about some half initiatives and how that ties into the OCP on Thursday. Challenger Geomatics has been hired to work on our large map for this side of the wall in the council chambers. Town cleanup has gone well. Lots of people use the facility at the landfill. We only have one area for the non-for-profits that has not been done yet, and that's in the Nansen over that big area. Home care nurses are leasing the office just next door. They're going to use it as their home base for computer work, and social services will be leasing the new office space for counseling services in the rec center. And that is my update. Thank you.
Any question for Chantel? Okay. Moving on. AYC, Yukon Communities.
I think Laura will be working on the letters for the resolutions, and they'll probably send those out once they're done and sent. We usually get CC normals, I think.
Thank you. Bylaws, I'm seeing none. Doing unfinished business, none. Question period from the gallery?
No.
Nobody? In camera session at...
Motion that we started in camera session at 8:01.
8:01. Second.
One second.
All in favor?